from you, and we invite you to share with us as much information as you are comfortable providing for us. If you don't want to fill out the connection card, you can also use the app on your phone. The Trinity has an app. Just go to the App Store and you can find that and let us know that you're here that way as well. I want to share with you for a minute a couple of things that are coming up on Wednesdays and Sundays. This coming Wednesday, 3 days from now, on February 27th, we'll be worshiping here in the Worship Center at 6:35 as opposed to in the chapel for our 6:35 service. That will be our last opportunity to worship with both Lenora, one of our associate pastors, and Ted Bruiser, our Director of Missions. We will be celebrating their time with us and the ministries that they have had among us and as a part of Trinity, and I invite you to come. It will be a wonderful celebration. Lenora will be preaching. We'll have some slideshows that highlight missions and a testimony as well. And it'll be a time for us to thank them for their ministry with us. There'll be a reception afterwards as well. So 6:35 in this space on Wednesday evening. Next Sunday is we will be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the United Methodist Women. United Methodist Women has been around for 150 years, obviously not at Trinity for that long, since we're only 60 years old. They have a powerful ministry, and I hope that you'll come and be a part of that celebration. Reverend June Edwards, who is our district superintendent, will be preaching on Sunday, and it'll be a great opportunity for you to hear the Word of God through June. And then finally, a week from Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we'll be having a service here in the Worship Center again. It will be a service in the round. It will be at 6:35. It's a powerful way to begin the season of Lent, and we invite you to come and to be a part of that. As we gather here for worship each week, and as we come to Trinity, we hope that everyone will come to find a place that they can call home. We also hope that here through Trinity, you will be able to find your home in Christ. And so each week, we begin the service, and I invite you to respond, "Welcome home." So let me invite you now to stand up and say hello to someone near you. If you don't know them, please be sure and introduce yourself and share your name.
Good morning. If you'll join us in singing our first song, Shout to the Lord, we're doing a little bit of a throwback this morning. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my day, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Oh, I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my day I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Oh, I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for listening to us. Thank you for sending Jesus, who teaches us how to pray. We know that you always listen to us. Help us to listen to you today. Amen. Now, this next song is also kind of an older one. If you know it, sing along. If not, we're going to repeat a bunch of it. So jump in when you get it.
Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia.
Our mission box is Faith Mission, which is a ministry of Trinity. It's an extension ministry of Trinity across town. If you haven't been there, I encourage you to go by and see what we're doing. We have a video today to give you some updates of our partnership within the community and other leaders that are involved in what we're doing there. So take a look, and then we encourage you to consider giving generously as you continue to do for this ministry. You can do that today at any of our mission boxes if you see as you exit today. Take a look.
When I first came to Faith Mission, because I was in a shell. It was just me and my husband, and I kept it really close. I didn't step out of it. And being with Faith Mission challenged me to learn. It challenged me to do more. The things that we do with the kids in the neighborhood is awesome. To see the kids being connected and having somewhere to go that's safe, you know, because it means a lot to me to give back, because I see myself as one of those kids growing up, and I didn't have a connection, so it gives me this that I want to give back. I think the leadership team is like a family, like my extended family. We've been together about 5 years. We pray for each other. We love on each other. We spend time together, even with family. I stay, and I'm grounded with Faith Mission is because it's a part of me. I come from this neighborhood. I was one of those kids, and I have a strong urge to help people. And I want to see other kids have help and a connection if they need it. And that's why I stay helping volunteers and whatever else I can do. I'm a member of Bartley United Methodist Church. And to me, that's a sister of Trinity Church and from Trinity Faith Mission. So I feel like we all bonded together, you know. And so it gives me opportunity to go from my church to Faith Mission to help out and to do some volunteer work, to be connected, you know. And so we can bring together as one umbrella all the churches together. My prayer for Faith Mission is big. I would like to see it grow and last forever. Today's Mission Box will support Faith Mission, including the hospitality team that I lead.
As we move now into a time of prayer, I want to invite you to remember those folks in our own congregation who have special needs for our prayers, those who are hospitalized or in specialized care. I also want to invite you to remember the family of Phyllis Darnell in your prayers. Phyllis passed away a little over a week ago. Her service will not be here. It will be out of town so that she can be buried with her husband. Phyllis is a longtime member of Trinity and an active part of the United Methodist Women. I also invite you to continue to remember Walt's dead and his family. Death of Bev, and the service for Bev will be this Thursday at 2 p.m. here in the worship center. And so I invite you to be present for that. Let's go to God in prayer, and I invite you to lift these things up to God and also other things that you might have on your heart this morning as we offer our prayers to God. Place our confidence and our trust in your abiding presence. We look to you, especially in the uncertainties of life. For all those times when we feel threatened or off kilter, this morning we carry to you the burdens for our families, our friends, and ourselves. We also harbor concerns about the future of our United Methodist Church. And trust in you, confident in our hope that you hold the future in your hands. And as you work for good, oh God, you also desire to work through us. We confess those places in our hearts where we have refused you entrance. People we have refused to love. Habits we never get around to changing. Good things we have left undone. And ways in which we hurt you, put ourselves and hurt others. Come to us in the light of Christ. Shine on those places we have hidden from you. Show us new ways to live. Sweep clean the rooms of our hearts that Christ may find a home among us, now and forever. Hear us now as we seek your blessing. Travel with us as we pray, guiding us and strengthening us for what lies ahead. The unknown future concerns us, especially when there are so many evil influences at work in the world. Yet despite these fears, you give us confidence that we never walk alone. You have promised to lead us into the joy of being with you forever, always by our side, leading us into life in all its fullness. Thank you for your amazing love. In the name of Christ, we pray. Bow our heads as we prepare to receive our offering this evening. Oh God, you are the giver of everything that is good and beautiful and perfect. And we give you thanks for those gifts. For those gifts in our lives, for those gifts in our church and on our community. We pray this morning that as we give back to you just a portion of all that we have given to us, that you will bless these gifts, that you will bless our offerings, that they might make a difference in our community, and even to the far corners of our world. Oh God, you are gracious and you give you all the thanks.
At some point in our lives, we've all been through some type of hardship or personal struggle, and most times, it may feel like we cannot turn to others for comfort or support because they might not understand our pain or their pain. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. It shows how we can put our trust in God. In the Bible, Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. From this verse, we can see that God will always be there for us, and that we can always lean on Him. As God is there for us, we can strive to become our life. Others can lean on when they need a friend.
Thank you.
get a new chance to kind of start again living into the fullness of who God is calling us to be as followers of Christ. And so it's fitting then that we move from that into Jesus inviting us to pray some words that help keep us in that space that God has intended for us. So the last phrase, the way that we're most familiar with hearing it and saying it, comes from the Revised Standard Version translation, and it goes like this: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Temptation and evil are the subject matters of this part of the prayer, and therefore the subject matter for today. You know, when we turn to the book of Psalms in the middle of the Bible, what we hear on a number of occasions from a voice crying out to God is this desire, this request for God to bring deliverance or aid from temptation and or evil or harm. So I thought I would read one such psalm for us today. And so I'd like you to follow along now as I read through Psalm 16. "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to shame, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this servant, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. Protect me, One of the questions that we can ask ourselves today as we look at this last part of the Lord's Prayer is, where do you seek refuge? Where do I seek refuge? You know, when trouble comes, when times are hard, when it feels like darkness is all around and we're looking for aid, we're looking for a place to go, people go to a lot of different places to find refuge. Sometimes we go deep into our work. We fill every possible waking hour we can with work in order to keep us busy and keep us from having to think about whatever hard thing it is that is going on. Sometimes the refuge that we seek, we go looking for it in the form of entertainment, something that will distract us for a while from the realities of life as we are facing. Sometimes it is to alcohol or drugs or some other addiction that we go in order to numb the pain of what is right in front of us and not have to deal with it honestly and directly. Sometimes it's in friendships. We get that feeling that if we can just feel like we're well-liked enough by others, then we won't really have to pay attention to what it is that's really troubling or bothering or causing us pain. The psalmist affirms Psalm 16 today that God is the only reliable refuge for us. He goes on to elaborate some of the things that that means for us, that God is the source of all goodness, that God is the one who sets the boundary lines in the right and pleasant places for us, that God is the one in whom there is security, in whom there is fullness
spoken before and ask yourself, now, what am I really saying? Am I suggesting that God might try to trick me or tempt me, and so I'm asking God, please don't do that? That would be one way to read the phrase. And yet that doesn't fit with the witness of Scripture of who God is. Again, both the psalmist and Jesus confirm for us that God is the source of all goodness. And so God would not deliberately try to cause us harm or to tempt us into doing something that was not good. So the New Living Translation may give us a helpful way to read this slightly differently. In the NLT, these words are translated this way: God, don't let us yield to temptation. You see, that way of reading it helps us recognize the truth. That temptation will come to all of us. Every one of us faces temptations in this life. And they come in many forms. Sometimes the temptation will be for us to be selfish or greedy. Sometimes we will be tempted to elevate our own status or lower someone else's. Sometimes we seek power for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we will be tempted to take what is not ours. Or we will be tempted to strike back at another who we feel like has harmed or injured us. In Jesus' own life and ministry, we see that through his experiences, he faces temptation time and time again. And there is that quintessential season of temptation when he is in the wilderness and Satan comes and asks him questions directly, trying to connect and reach him in his vulnerability of hunger and need to get him to succumb. And we know, just looking at each of our past weeks, the truth, the temptation, all of those temptations will be present this week, in the next few days, for the delegates who are representing our church around the world, seeking to find a way forward for the United Methodist Church. The temptation to be selfish in the midst of that, the temptation to elevate one's own status or ideas over someone else's, the temptation to seek power for the wrong reasons and to take what is not theirs, right back at a brother or sister with whom they disagree. All of those temptations will be present and real for the delegates of our church this week, which is why they and we all need to be in prayer for them. Lead us not into temptation, help us, God, to find a way together that honors you. To say, lead us not, is to know that temptation does, in fact, come, and to seek God's help in facing it, to ask for God's assistance in setting the boundary lines where they will be good and right and pleasant. Many of you know that just over a week ago, I returned from Rwanda, where I had the opportunity to witness what is happening through Zoe Ministries with orphans all across that country, some of whom Trinity is helping nurture and support as they go through this leadership and empowerment program with Zoe. One of the remarkable things for me that I heard in story after story from these kids is the way in which they are resisting the temptation to do harm to others, as they have had harm done to them. Many of them as orphans were ridiculed and ostracized and marginalized, not because of anything that they have done, but simply because of who they are. As children without parents, they have been seen as a nuisance, a worrisome presence in their community, and are pushed to the fringes. But now, as they are being raised up become small business owners. They start hiring people in their community to be a part of their work. Even some of the very people who used to mistreat and misspeak about them in the past. Lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus goes on and says, deliver us. Now, there are two sides to this deliverance. Side one is that part of this prayer that is where we are saying, God, protect us from evil that might be done to us, evil that comes at us from the outside. And again, as I heard the stories of these Zoe kids, there are so many of how they have encountered and endured evil. Girls who thought they were receiving assistance from well-intentioned and well-meaning men in their community when they were young, providing them with money in order to go and get food. But as the girls matured and as their bodies matured, the men began to take advantage of them, and the girls felt like they had no recourse. And then when the girls so that now it was not just the girl, but the girl and a child that they were now responsible for, left alone. Stories like that of Dr. Boss, the young man who is known by that name in his community, who you'll see in a photo as well. A young man who was exploited, if we can have that picture, a young man who was exploited by a hatchery in the capital city of Kigali, who worked all day, every day in this hatchery, and at the end of the day was given a piece of bread typically, just to survive until the next day. And yet these young men and women, we heard stories of them having survived this trauma and this evil, and now beginning to not only survive, but thrive in a new day. For them, the immediate threat of evil has passed. But on our last day in the world, we heard the stories of children who are just entering into the world, for whom the threat of evil is still very present and real. Deliver us from evil is a real and long prayer for them. Deliver us from evil on the one side is that plea that God would protect us from evil that might be done to us. But then there is also side two, one that we would probably prefer to not admit really exists, and that is the part where we need to plea to God to keep us from participating in evil. The Apostle Paul knew quite well that this was a reality and that there was potential for evil within himself and within each of us. In Romans 7, he says, you know, as much as I want to do good and I know what is right, I don't do the good that I want to do, but instead I do the evil that I don't want to do. And so I find that as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is lurking. Always present before us. And so when we say this part of the prayer, if we are to do so honestly, it requires an acknowledgement that within each of us there is the capacity for doing evil and harm. Just this week, famous high-profile names have flooded the front pages of newspapers and websites like Kelly and Kraft and Smollett, indicating to us just how real and present the evil that lurks within is. No one would have ever imagined possibly the horror of what happened in Rwanda in 1990. desperately need to pray this part of the prayer. Deliver us from evil, not only the evil that could be done to us, but the evil that we are at risk of choosing ourselves. You know, not every Hutu chose the path of evil at the time of the genocide. There were some who courageously and boldly resisted doing what they were being told to do by those in power. One such story is that of a man by the name of Froedwald Karahije. Froedwald, in the weeks before the massacre began, had built himself a trench because the message he was being told by his own people, by leaders of his own tribe, the Hutus, was that the Tutsis were coming to kill them. And so they should arm themselves and get ready. And so Froedwald wanted to make sure he had a place where he could go for safety. And then as the massacre began, he realized that what was happening was the exact opposite of what his own people had told him. It wasn't the Tutsis that were killing and massacring. It was the Hutus. And so Froedwald turned his shelter, his trench that he had built for himself, into a place where he could offer refuge to neighboring Tutsis, as many as he could fit there for the duration of the fighting. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. 3 weeks ago, at the beginning of our looking at the Lord's Prayer, we focused on the importance of putting first things first, making God's desires, God's will, God's way, that which we pray for first. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now, today, at the end, we take up that part of the prayer where we ask that we will not make choices God's kingdom and God's will. But that instead, in small ways and in big ways, we will make
And then that redemption that came as they entered into the promised land. And yet, even when they gathered to remember those pieces, to that has been added the deliverance from our own need for redemption, our own sin. Part of the Passover Seder after David's reign was the inclusion of that 51st Psalm. That is part of the entire remembering that we go through. And so as Jesus gathered with his disciples, God knowing that just telling us to obey the laws wasn't enough to truly deliver humanity from evil that abounds, Christ gathered with his disciples and told him what was about to happen. God himself was going to pour out God's love for us, making a way for our deliverance from sin and evil and whatever form we come, and also making a way to not just deliver us, but to redeem all that gets shattered by sin. And as we gather week after week at this particular table, and as Steve was sharing this message, knowing that it's a combination of deliverance and redemption, I'm reminded of this beautiful cross and the stained glass window that we get to look at every week when we come to the church. And it's a remembrance that whatever gets broken in this world, not only did Christ die on the cross, but he rose up from the grave. And in doing so, the resurrection power is poured out upon our lives so that whatever gets broken, God is able to not just deliver, but to restore and redeem and redeem. Again and again and again, you welcome us into your presence to be delivered and redeemed, to be restored and made clean and whole, to come out and be your people in the world again, and to pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us, and on this bread and this cup, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with you and one with each other in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory and we all feast together around your heavenly banquet table. Lord, through Jesus Christ and the power of your Holy Spirit that works in your church, you know, glory and honor to yours. Like those who are going to be serving with us to go ahead and come forward and get those elements ready. I usually do, as we all do, we invite every one of you. Christ wants all of us to come and experience God's love and grace that delivers and can redeem and restore. And so as you come, you're going to notice in just a moment a pair of servers are going to be in front of your section. And we'll invite you to come with the front rows and making our way to the back, coming out the left side and coming forward. And we'll pair off a piece of bread, a reminder of God's deliverance. And they're going to give it to you. And as you receive that, dip it into the cup and then eat it. And allow it to consume every fiber of your being. And then you're welcome to come and kneel and just pray along the altar. Or you can return to your seat and sing with the band.
Thank you so much for the opportunity of journeying in life with these amazing people that you have created to bear your image. And may you continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that our paths may intertwine. And if they don't, Lord, I will look forward to feasting with them again around your heavenly banquet table. I know that day will come. And until that day comes, Lord, allow this meal to continue to renew and sustain them in their journey of life. They may bear your image and the trail of your love and
strength. Let's stand and sing our last song. And it's the song that makes sense to end this series. All the people said amen. Remember to join us this Wednesday evening for a time of worship and celebration with Lenora and Ted. And as you go out today, receive this blessing. May God guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storms. May God bring you home.